Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, the ages of all ages, amen. Second Sunday, today of Lent, Sunday of temptation. The Sunday where the Lord Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And I'm sure you've noticed how the Lord responds every time to the devil by saying, "It is written." The devil throws different traps, different questions, different ideas, different thoughts, and he's been doing so from the beginning of time, right? Since the fall of Adam and Eve. But the Lord showed us the response, which was, "It is written." I think this "it is written" is such a small little phrase, but packs so much power if we understand the meaning behind it. If we understand why the Lord said these things, why the Lord allowed Himself to even go through this exercise in the first place, as if He was going to fall prey to the devil. He, being God, knew exactly what He was allowing and what He was doing for our own growth and our benefit and our salvation. St. John tells us in his first letter, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." He allowed this to happen. He permitted this to happen to destroy His works once and for all. He said, well, His works seem to be very living and vital and rampant in the world today. Yes, He continues to be able to work throughout history until the second coming. But the difference since the Lord Jesus' incarnation, the big difference, is that now people have a choice. People are now capable, by God's grace and authority, to overcome. At one point, there was no way to overcome. Through the Lord Jesus, He destroyed the works of the devil. St. Paul looks at it in a different way. He says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood," so every one of us receive a human form, "He Himself likewise partook of the same thing." So this is why He was incarnate. This is why He came into the flesh and went through everything He went through, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. This is why He allowed all this to happen. That's why He went through it Himself. That's why He never asks us to do something He Himself did not go through. Look what it says in Jeremiah about the Word of God. See, the question is, do we believe in this or not? And that's the difference between believing in the Word or just reading the Word or hearing the Word. Jeremiah says something amazing. He says, "Is not my Word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" This is the power of the Word of God. It's like a hammer. It's like fire. And St. Paul calls it the sword. So you can think of it as fire, you can think of it as a sword, think of it as a hammer, whatever you prefer. But in all three cases, it's a very powerful weapon to those who know it, to those who use it, to those who read it, to those who live by it. The Lord explained this and He said there has to be a very big, important condition for this to work. It says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Believe it. So many people have repented, changing their ways, but do they believe in what they repented for? What did we repent for? What is this gospel we believe in? What is this gospel we preach? Do we actually believe it? St. Isaac the Syrian says, "This life has been given to us, or given to you for repentance. Do not waste it in vain pursuits." Quite often, the time we have here, this limited time, these 24-hour blocks that we have every single day, until we don't know if we have the next one, but we always have a block of time, daily. What do we do with this block of time? We can pursue things that will lead to our edification. It'll be, it's like if I take a Bible and I put it in the hand of a baby, the baby will hold it, might even bite it, might put their head on it, might lick it, might kiss it. They don't know. It's an object in their hand, a toy. Put it in an adult who has nothing or no idea what the Bible is all about. It's practically the exact same thing. It's just something they hold in their hand, they flip through it, they peruse it, and then they put it back. They have not yet acquired, they have not yet discerned or exercised themselves into understanding what this word is all about. But for a person who knows, it's a sword, it's a hammer, it's fire. And they can use it as they like, when they like. It's given to them for that purpose. When St. Paul spoke about the word of God being like a sword, he says this. He says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It helps you with what's going on deep inside your heart. And it helps you when you are confronted with evil or with an evil thought or an evil impulse or a temptation or a tribulation. Whatever it is, the word comes up and resurfaces if you let it, if you've given it the opportunity to steep in your heart long enough. It comes out when you need it as a sword, as fire, as a hammer, so that you can say as your Lord said when he was faced with those temptations on our behalf, "It is written." So you get some weird messed up thought, right away you say, "It is written." But you can't do that if you don't know the word. You won't be able to. What are you going to say? "It is written what?" Sometimes the only thing we remember that is written is what we saw in our news feed earlier in the morning on Facebook. Or what social media has been throwing at us. Or what most recent TikTok video I might have seen. That's what I have to use against this despicable, abominable thought. Or these words, or these thoughts, or these temptations, or these distortions. Or these, you name them. But when I have given the time daily for the word of God to steep deep in my heart, then I'm able to say, "It is written." And I know exactly which verse to use at exactly the right time because I've exercised myself in godliness, as St. Paul says. I've learned through exercise to discern. My senses have now been exercised to discern both good and evil. That's why St. Paul told us this morning these words in Romans 15. "For whatever things were written before, written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." They're written for our learning. They're not written to be left as decoration in some den in the house. They're not even meant to just be on some sort of application on the cell phone or even on a screen in a church. There were no screens back in the day. When you entered churches a few years ago, what, was there a screen in the church? No. Church was didn't have pews. Back in the day, there was no such thing as sitting down. You can kneel or you stood. But there was no screen. There was not even lighting. If you go back far enough, there was candlelight. People were exercised to discern by having sanctified senses and thoughts. But when we live by the world standards of social media and all these weapons of mass distraction, all that happens to us is we are dragged. We are completely dragged by whatever the world throws at us. But again, if we think of what the word is there for, the hammer, the rock, the fire, then I have a totally different weapon in my hands. Totally different. Totally, totally different. But of course, the choice is left up to each individual to choose what they want to do with the Bible. Do you want to keep it as a history book or do you want to keep it as a living book? That's a personal choice. It's everyone's choice. St. Peter, St. James tells us, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul." It's able. It's very able to do the work that it's there to do. But receive it with meekness. Receive it with faith. You see how when they go around the altar before the reading of the gospel, what the priest has the gospel case above his head to remind himself and to remind the congregation. We receive it with meekness. It is above us. The word of God is above us. But learning it is so important because think about every one of you who is in school or has finished school. You went to school and I'm sure somewhere in your classes, if you listen to the teacher or you probably had a book to read. And chances are you had a lot of books to read for some classes, didn't you? And a lot of notes to take down. and a lot of examinations and quizzes and stuff. You had to read and read and read and read and read some more. Why? For your learning. Why? Why did you learn these things for? So that you can finally get your bachelor's degree from whatever university you went to and hang it up in your office as some sort of trophy? Or was it for your learning, but you can then do what with what you've learned? Then you can apply it. Apply it where? Apply it in your career choice, right? If you believe and apply, so let's say you've gone to the step of believing, that's great. Now, if you work on the next step, which is applying what you've believed by learning it and reading it and rereading it daily, 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 and begin to imitate your Lord and say, it is written, this truth, God's truth, will change you and make you more like Him. When St. Paul says we have the mind of Christ, how do we develop the mind of Christ? By spending time with Christ. By spending time in His words. I really encourage you to change your perspective on the Bible if you haven't yet. If it's still just some sort of intimidating book for you, the Lord did not make it so that it be an intimidation for you. There are many people intimidated. So then I hear it at church once in a while, and that's good enough. Or some people of different backgrounds and cultures and religions, they fear it. So don't touch it. It's dangerous. But for the Christian who's been given the authority by the Holy Spirit to read it and apply it, it's an incredible source of great things. It's a weapon against evil, but it's also a comfort in tribulation. It's a strengthening when facing temptation. It's a guide when confused. It's everything we need. And that's why the Lord kept telling him, it is written. It is written. It is written. That's for us. He did that for us. When the Lord says in John chapter 8, He says, if you abide in my word, see, there you go again. If you abide in the it is written, you are my disciples indeed. You're going to prove it by how you speak, what you say. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So when the devil comes to deceive you with any sham of any sort, any lie, any myth, and he's really good at making lies look really true, he is the father of lies. He's excellent at making lies look like truths. How can you discern except by the word of God? By your sword, your hammer, your fire. How are you going to be able to? You won't be able to. I won't be able to. None of us would be. So it's a gift given to us, not just to be revered, but to live and to apply. You've heard earlier this morning, one of the saints of the Synaxarian of the day, Saint Sarah the Nun. And she's a perfect example of temptation and tribulation and how she overcame. Look, this is just a snippet of the story. It says, when Satan was exasperated from her steadfastness and purity, he wished to overthrow her by the sin of pride. So he saw that she was really doing so well spiritually. He said, let me try to get her with pride now. Because now that she thinks she's so good, let me make her fall in pride, just like I fell in pride. So he appeared to her while she was standing praying on the roof of her cell and said to her, rejoice, for you have overcome Satan. She replied, I am a feeble woman, and I cannot conquer you except by the power of the Lord Christ. And then Satan vanished. You see, this is the beautiful story of a woman who understood the meaning of the power of the Word of God. Even though this is not a verse right out of Scripture, it refers to the truth of Scripture. Because in John 15, the Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. So she understood that very clearly. Of course, the icon there that you might see is not exactly her, but it said Saint Sarah, so I figured I'd put it there for you just to give it an illustration for us. See, she understood the fact that it says in Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. She ran to the name of the Lord. She ran to the name of Jesus. Just like the Scripture taught her. So the word is there, and it's meant to accomplish something in me and in each one of us, every one of us. The word is meant to accomplish something. It says in Isaiah 55, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The word has a purpose for you and for me, every one of us at every time. So many people have said to me, and I'm sure you've said it to yourself maybe, or others have said it to you, that in the middle of a certain situation, they received a reminder. They felt something. A verse came to mind. A passage in Scripture came to their reminder. This is the work of the Holy Spirit as that person begins to practice using the Word. Practice using that fire, that sword, that hammer. When even the Pharisees tried to debate many things with the Lord, they themselves fell in a trap, and the Lord explained to them very simply. And just to go for time, He just simply said this to them in Mark chapter 12. Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God?" It's because they did not know the Scriptures as they should. They had a literal interpretation or understanding, but they didn't apply it to their lives. And therefore, the Lord Himself told them to their face, "You are greatly mistaken. You don't even understand what you're talking about. You look at it as some sort of word written, some literary work. The Bible is more than a literary work." So this could be the trap any one of us can fall in. Any one of us can fall in this. How many people constantly misinterpret and misquote Scripture? Or they get attacked, you know, they're on the street and somebody comes up to them. It says in the Bible, if you open up 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 13, it's... And then they get completely dumbfounded. They have no idea what to say. And yet, had they taken the time to know on their own, that's why St. Peter says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Always be ready to give a defense. Always be ready. St. Paul calls it being ready in season and out of season. So at any moment, so that if ever... And whenever, because you will be confronted about your faith, sooner or later, one way or another, you'll be able to answer not just by saying, well, it says this verse, because that's exactly what the devil does. It says it's written this. And the Lord said to him, yes, but it is written also this. But if we keep taking the Bible only out of context and snippets and relying on the verse of the day that we get from some sort of app, that's not going to be sufficient. Because the verse of the day is also taken out of context, but there's much more around the verse of the day. The verse of the day is great, but it's not sufficient. I mean, when you fed your baby milk when they were an infant, that was fine. But I don't think you can feed your 15 or 16-year-old only milk for the rest of their life. Sooner or later, they're going to tell you, where is the beef? They're going to tell you, I'm hungry, mama or papa, aren't they? This is only normal because they are growing. But some of us on the Christian stand with the Word of God, we are fine with the word of the day, the verse of the day. That's like giving milk to a grown adult who expends thousands of calories a day. That's not going to be sufficient. It's not going to be sufficient. That's why in Hosea it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Completely destroyed. The world we live in today is destroyed due to lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? The knowledge of the truth. He is the truth. And He gives us to know Him through His Word, which is the truth. So it's again there for the taking. There are some who take it and run with it. Others who remain on the threshold and say, it looks nice from far. But believe me, you will benefit greatly by taking it to another level. That you not only, it's not about just being able to speak it or defend yourself in public, but that you yourself, when you are confronted again with whatever the devil, whatever those darts he throws at you, you can actually say, I know better. I know better than to fall for your deceptions and your tricks and your so-called truths. I know better. St. Isaac tells us, Lord, qualify me to feel the strength of your book. Make me realize how strong this word is and not just leave it on the back burner. He said, the path to God is a daily cross. No one has ascended to heaven by way of ease. We know where the easy way leads. Don't say, well, I don't feel like it today. I'm tired. Do it anyway. It's those days and times where you push yourself that you gain the most fruit, that you gain the most spiritual muscle. You can't just say, well, I went to church on Sunday. That's wonderful that you did. That's part of our Christian walk. But what about Monday to Saturday? What am I doing then? What am I doing with those six other days? There has to be that constant putting on the whole armor. St. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor. And part of that armor is the Word of God. That sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Put on everything. It's like if you take our kids to soccer practice or football practice or whatever sport they're going to play, or hockey, they don't just get onto the field or the ice or the court or whatever with like just the sport equipment, the tool, the ball, the puck. They have to wear a full equipment, a full gear. Otherwise, they could be seriously harmed or seriously injured in the game. Same thing with your spiritual life. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor. When St. Paul talks to us about that, he says to a young bishop named Timothy, he tells him, till I come, give attention. I want you to see those words highlighted in red. First, he says, give attention. Pay attention to this, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Then he says, meditate on these things. So now that you gave them the time of day, you gave them your attention, meditate on them. What is this about? You can get plenty of Bible commentaries from the early church fathers to satisfy all your needs on whatever passage you're reading. Go to the post-Nicene father, anti-Nicene fathers. There's plenty of stuff there for you. So meditate. Meditate by studying what the commentary of reliable fathers taught us when the church was one united apostolic faith. Then he says, take heed. So give attention, meditate, and be careful. Take heed. And then to yourself and to the doctrine. So watch out for yourself and to what faith you believe in. And then he finally says, continue in it. It's not enough to say, well, I read it on Sunday. Read it every single day of your life. Every single day of your life. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It'll be salvation for you and those who you will speak with. This is the ultimate goal of that. So give attention, meditate, take heed, and continue. So it's the book is going to change your life. I promise you, the Bible will change your life, but you have to read it. You have to choose to read it. And so that you can imitate the Lord and say, it is written, whenever the devil confronts you with anything. St. Paul tells us the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. This is the words of St. Paul. But then he says, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Then he says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. St. Paul keeps going, the Scripture says. And he keeps quoting the Old Testament constantly in all his letters. Remember, he was very well versed in Scripture, but it wasn't just memorizing the law of Moses, but it was applying the truth of Christ through it. We can do this. It's ours for the taking. It says in Psalm 119, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. The word has to be in your heart. I want you to imagine this is your heart, and I want you to imagine the Word of God written on your heart. Like St. Paul says, you are our epistle written in our hearts. Let the words be written in your heart. So that if you could look at your heart beating and pumping right now, you can see, oh, there's John chapter 1, verse 1. Oh, there's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let the Word be written like that. Hide it in your heart. When your heart is like this, the devil doesn't stand a chance against you. But in the meantime, he's having a field day with us because he knows, they don't know. They don't know. And that's why the Lord, out of His love for us, the first thing He says when dying on the cross on Good Friday is, Father, forgive them. They do not know. But for how long will we settle for not knowing when the knowledge is there for the taking, where He says, He desires that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's there for the taking. What are we waiting for? Are we waiting for another Lent to pass, another Easter, another liturgical year? What are we waiting for? The time is now. It's right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not Easter Sunday. It's this second. That's why it says in John, St. John says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him from the beginning. That is, who is from the beginning. How do we know Him? Through the Word. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. You overcome him because the Word abides in you, not because it's on your phone when you go to it once in a blue, or it's on the shelf somewhere. It abides in you. Let the Word of God abide in you. Take it as the sword that St. Paul keeps talking about. So when the devil throws a thought at you, a curveball at you, of anything, a thought, don't believe everything you think. People say, well, don't believe everything you hear. I also tell you, don't believe everything you think. Because the devil could throw a thought at your head and try to convince you that this is the truth. Because again, as we said earlier, he's excellent at turning truths or turning lies into some pseudo-truth, this illusion of truth when it's a sham. But he's great at it. And tons of people fall in it every second. Every second of every day, people are falling like that, dropping like flies. Because they believe everything they think because the devil threw it at them and they didn't use the weapons in their arsenal, in their toolbox. The toolbox is there. That's why St. Paul says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The first psalm of the day, the first psalm of the book of Psalms, the first psalm of the first hour says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the unrighteous, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Meditate on it. Give it a chance. Day and night, day and night. Keep the Bible at the heart of your day, and in the center of your heart, and when you wake up, and before you sleep, and repeat every single day. Keep this image in front of your eyes, day and night, and you will overcome, just as the Lord overcame. You will overcome just as he overcame. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. What testimony did they build except through the word of God himself? And they did not love their lives to the death. Because they knew that the love of God is stronger and greater than death. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. What is this all about? This is what the Lord Jesus did when allowing the devil to try to tempt him. And crushing him with, it is written, it is written, it is written. And completing the final blow when dying on the cross on Good Friday. This is what happened. He disarmed the devil and his powers and his authorities. Made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Given to us, this is the salvation given to me personally, for me, and for you personally. So that you can say three words, it is written. Just by saying that with faith, and you know what you're going to say next, the devil's already out the door. He's already a step outside of your heart. Because he's like, uh-oh. You can do this. This is your gift from above. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.